I guess the only thing we can do is play you a song.
Now it is 11:31 and it's this month's book club for November with the very glamorous and gorgeous as always Sylvia Kent and the equally as gorgeous guest writer Celia Pike. Sylvia is a freelance columnist, author. Her features have appeared in national, regional magazines and online journals. Her 10th book, Barking and Dagenham from Old Photographs, is selling well, and her blog currently has 247,000 page views as well. We're joined by writer Celia as well. So it's lovely to meet you, Celia, as well. Hello over there.
Hello.
Hello. I have to sit up because where Celia is, I'm only 5'1" and I slump. And we are getting a redesign of the studio soon.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, lovely.
So we won't have these screens in front like a barrier.
Oh, marvellous. We have a party as well.
So the thing is, Celia, I will sit up really straight, and then as the interview goes on, you'll see that I'll start sinking.
Slowly
sinking
go down.
Now, we're going to start with Sylvia looking glamorous and very festive in the red.
Yes. Pulled the old jacket out, you know.
Now, I have to say, Sylvia always goes, whenever I say she's glamorous, now you were a model. You've modelled.
Oh, long time ago.
Photogenic.
Yes, yeah, we did lots of work. And hair.
Yeah.
Also worked with Vidal Sassoon and used to cut my hair. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, but we're now writing.
You can't say that Vidal Sassoon just cut my hair and just throw away comment. Was that back sort of, was that in the sort of 80s? He's recently died, has he? Or?
It was, yeah, he's dead now. 60s.
And, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Because he was at the height of his fame in the 1960s.
Oh, yes. All those, that new haircut we all had.
Was it a pixie?
That was photographed.
Was it a pixie cut?
Yes.
But, yeah.
But I grew it and then they cut it and it was mainly for photographs.
Yeah.
So that came out with his name on. So, wow. Yeah, but it was a long time ago.
Wow.
Yeah, 50 that's years or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You look. You just always look glamorous, well, and you will
really
see from the photographs as well. Now, we are here with a book club, so we're going to talk about Billericay Readers Group first.
Yes, and we've got a super new lady to look after us called Susan, mm-hmm. and she's makes sure that all the books come back that are ordered by Essex Libraries. We're very grateful to that. It costs us nothing.
Yeah.
We say what we want to read, and they get them for us. It's about 12 members now at the moment. And at the moment, we're reading something called The Secret Samurai, and it's all to do with Japan. Now, I don't know much about Japan. I know far more, because every book that's given to me, I read every single word, not just the blurb to do the review. I read every single word. And that was a fabulous book by one of our members of the Society of Women Writers, and her name is Jill Rutherford.
What's the outline of the book for people that might be interested?
I think it's taken really from her own life. I think she got fed up with life and told her mum and dad, right, I'm going out to Japan, nearly knocked them over with the thought, and she started up an English-speaking school.
Wow.
And obviously kept a diary for the 7 years she was there. And this book is based on that place in Japan, and she used to go on a train and suddenly fall unconscious, which was a bit dodgy for the people that are sitting around you, but in that time she was away, she went into another world, and it was a world of the samurai 150 years ago when Japan was going through these terrible things from the Americans. I'm learning stuff I never learnt at school, and I think most of us, when we read interesting books, you pick up that knowledge. And it was a lovely book, and I've done a review for our magazine, which is The Woman Writer, and I write for them on a regular basis. Also write reviews of books, but also I write something called From the Archive, and I pick subjects and some of our very famous pioneering writers of the time, 120 years ago. So that's my job. My friend over there is a member, and she has to read it, poor soul.
I just wanted to bring in Celia Pike, who's our guest today. How long have you known Sylvia for? When did you two first meet?
Gosh, it must be at least 15 years ago.
About that, yes.
Look, not that long ago then.
No. Well, you see, she lives fairly close, so belongs to Brentwood Writers Circle, another little plug, because they are wonderful. Join them, they will help you with your writing, with agents, with publishers, and any information you need, we've got somebody, haven't
we, Sina? Somebody who knows something, yes.
Now, we're going to talk about your writing, because I suppose that you started writing, although you've probably been writing from when you were much, much younger as a child and things like maybe little short stories. When did you actually get the bug and think, I've got to write a book?
Look, I really came across it by accident. I'd worked as a secretary all my life, and when I retired, I knew I needed something to do. So I came across writing by accident because I joined a class of, I don't know what they call it, creative writers, and I thought I was going to learn calligraphy. And I remember going to this first class, and the teacher, at the end of it, I thought, what are they all talking about? And she said, I'm going to give you the first line of a story, and I want you to go home and write a 1,000-word story. And the line was something like, she stepped over the cracked glass.
Oh, dear.
And I had this really old computer, because this was a long time ago. And I said, I thought, God, what do I do? And I began to sort of, well, why would she be there? And where was it? Where was it? And the old where, why, what, when, yes, etc. And in the end, I produced a story. It wasn't any good, but it was a story.
Mm.
And that's how I began. And then I began to get articles published, because I am non-fiction, more than fiction. And then one day I ran into Sylvia, a dark day in Brentwood, February.
I thought
you
were going to say it's a dark day.
It was raining.
We were wet, weren't
we? We were. And she said to me, what are you doing? And I said, lately. And I said, what are you writing, rather? And I said, well, nothing. And she said, you must write a book. And I was a bit scared of her, actually.
Most people are.
What I needed to know, and I wrote my first book. So Sylvia started me on that path, which is the beauty of Brentwood writers. Because I would never have written a book if Sylvia hadn't have set me on that path.
I think you would have. You had it in you. And actually, you managed very well. No. But it's knowing how to approach publishing houses, keep it short, keep it interesting, entice them. You know, this is what we do, a clever use of words, because you have it, and I realised you had it. And you've done how many books?
Five, six.
A very good publisher. They are one of the best.
And history best.
Yeah, they really are. But it was already in you. I didn't have to do anything. You just
set
the idea.
We've all got things in us. But they need developing, don't they?
Yeah.
And you need to be brave. And that's another thing, because lots of people laugh at you when you start. Well, what's she doing? You know, what's she doing out there? And really, it's terribly important to get a little bit of success early on, because then they've got faith in you and they know you're not messing about.
So the first book was Raynham and Wennington Memories. So tell us about, how did that book actually come about? What made you sort of pick that subject?
Well, Sylvia said to me, write a book on Upminster, where I live. And I thought, oh, it's very dull. I know my son always says it's in a time warp, Upminster, but we've come a long way since then. But my daughter lives in Raynham, and it's a very interesting place. I love the characters in Raynham. You know, the ex-farm workers, and they've all got tales about their horses. And lovely. And then there's the marshes, of course. It's a really interesting place. That's where I sort of cut my teeth on writing a book. And I loved it. I love talking to the old people, don't laugh. And they've got such lovely
Fabulous. But you've also done very well with your articles. I've just sent one off to Essex Life, which used to be Essex Countryside. So I'm writing about the Americans coming over. It's 75 years this coming year. And he said, oh, any ideas? And as soon as he says that, you know, my brain starts. But you've done a lot of work with Essex Life, haven't you?
I've done a bit,
Tell us what you've done.
Well, I wrote about Raynham before I ever did the book.
Before
Raynham
you did
book.
It. Yeah.
So I was already always interested in Raynham. I wrote about the marshes and the wildlife. I think that's a bit more difficult now because it's controlled by the RSPB.
That's so right, right.
It's sort of, they've got their own contacts, you know. Mm.
But there are so many magazines that have to fill that white space.
Yes.
Same as on the air. Mm. You need people that can talk about what they've been doing. Or, I mean, some of them we hope are interesting. But people like Michelle need people, and we as writers need to write our books, don't we?
Now I'm joined in the studio by writer Sylvia Kent and guest writer Celia Pike. Now Celia has already written several books, Raynham and Wennington Memories, and also Voices of Upminster, then Voices of North and South Ockingdon, that was in 2014. And you're writing another non-fiction book entitled Dearest Ray. Tell us about that one.
Ah, now that's a book that I was asked to write by a young farmer. His uncle was shot down during the war when he was in a Lancaster bomber. It was his first trip, and he was taken into a prisoner of war camp. He was really lucky to have landed safely. I think all he had was a sprained ankle, and it contains the letters to and from home, and it's quite... it's very nostalgic, and it... The letters show he was very much a farm boy, and as he travels from camp to camp, he tells of the crops that are in the fields that other people wouldn't notice.
Mm.
It's lovely. That should come out, I think, probably about next March.
Yeah. And have you actually finished it completely, or just in the...
I finished it. I've just got to pull it together.
Mm. Yeah.
How many words?
Not that many, about 30,000.
Oh. Mm. And what, when you actually write something, for people out there that are trying to put something together, do you go back and read every single part that you've read? As soon as you write a part of a book or you start it, do you go back and read it and then take bits out and edit as you go along, or just write everything out and then go back through?
Oh, I edit as I go along, and then at the end I edit and edit again.
Mm.
You have to.
Yeah.
Because you make mistakes, don't you?
Everyone makes mistakes, mm. Yes.
And when you're writing, you know, if you're writing fiction, which is obviously slightly different, do you have to go through, do you actually just storyboard that out? Is that more difficult to do?
No.
No.
I just write how I feel.
Yeah.
Like a train.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the edit.
Did you actually sit there and plan that you've got this character there, their traits, or this person, this is the way it's going to go, and then you write the book once you've got the kind of outline, or you just write it as it comes out?
I write it as it comes out, and I base my characters on people I know from television. Like, I've just written a book for boys, a boys' adventure story, and there's one woman I love in it, Bessie, and she's based on somebody from Coronation Street, and I can see her, and I can see her mannerisms. That's they're always based on something on television or somebody I know.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with books, and I still read. I've got my Kindle, as everyone knows, but I do actually read. I always buy books. I like going to the... I hope it's a bit bad. I do go to Waterstones and supermarkets, but I like buying my books. I've got a physical book, because I can't take a Kindle into the bath. And that's when that's when I like to go in the bath, and you always think, don't take the Kindle in the bath. But I love to read. Yes. And I always... So the other thing I always do, which I think you should do, is I always will tweet or email the author and say, it doesn't matter how famous they are, thank you very much. The book was fantastic.
Oh, that's
lovely. That's a lovely thing. Mm. I wish more people would do that.
Yeah. Mm.
If you found someone, the various things we go to, that can say they enjoyed it, it makes you feel wonderful. Because you don't know, do you?
No.
When you're in your little office working away, and you don't know how it's going to be received. So when you get that call, email or whatever, it's lovely. It really is. And I'm sure you agree.
Yes.
Yeah. Until we were getting on you'll be on every social media very soon, won't you, Celia? We were talking actually off air, weren't we, about the way that it is now with people on their mobile phones. And you said, how do people actually go out with each other anymore? Or go out on a date?
Exactly. What sort of conversation are you going to have face to face?
Well, we were talking about Tinder. Not that me and Celia were on it, we were saying about Tinder, where people just flick through people's faces.
Mm. My granddaughter wanted to put me on it.
Really?
Because she's on it, and she said, you should go on it, you'll get some nice dates.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, it's one of those. Now, explain, because some of the people listening this morning wouldn't know what Tinder was. Tinderbox? I mean, Flashpoint.
It's a dating site.
Oh, for
and
everyone.
I think you put your picture up and sort of a short profile of what you do and what you like. And then thousands contribute. And as Michelle was saying, you just look at... I would, for instance, if I was 18-year-old, look at the men on it and you just...
So it's to do, it's completely to do with looks, and if you don't look right, you've got no chance whatsoever.
That's so wrong, isn't it?
Well, that's the way of the world, isn't it? If you put, and also you've got to put a realistic picture up on things like that. There's no point in saying you're not the person in the picture.
I've got some 50 years ago. No, and we're due to have a session with a photographer soon, so. But even that, I mean, with lighting and, you know, how can you get a true perspective of someone?
I don't want a true perspective of myself at all. I prefer to have the glazed over pictures that don't look anything like me.
I've got a lovely one of you. I've got a really good one of you taken a few years ago.
I'll tell you what, Sylvia's got no good pictures of me, Celia. Every time she said, I've taken a picture of you with the guests, and I look and I go, get that off.
She vets everything. I won't put anything on unless she says it's okay.
It never is.
I thought you were quite photogenic.
She hasn't got that confidence.
Yeah. No.
And we're going to change that.
Yeah, by putting a bag over my head. Now, if people want to... Now, if people want to find out more, it's Celia Pike. You can find copies of a book, Raynham and Wellington Memories, that was in 2005, followed by Voices of Upminster in 2008, and then Voices of North and South Ockingdon, which was released in 2004. And also the non-fiction book will be out next year, which is called Dearest Ray. And obviously with Sylvia Kent, you've got your blog spot, which is all the W's.
Yes. What is it? Just Sylvia Kent. If you put
Sylvia Kent, it's the one that comes up at the top.
It's reading and writing, exactly what we do on Book Club.
Yep.
And I'll be advertising the new book, which is called Billericay Zeppelin. And it's how one man from your place, Hornchurch, who brought down the Zeppelin L-32. That's a very famous one. Unfortunately, 22 young Germans were killed. But we had the commemoration stone put up, as you know, last month. And we had one of the family of those young Germans came along, Mr. Botchfeller, and he was very, very nice. We spent the whole day with them, entertained them in Billericay, and now we have a stone to commemorate that awful night of the 23rd of September 1916. So I've done an awful lot on the First World War. I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I've read and met so many people writing books on the subject. And in 1918, what will we be doing? Because we've 4 years we've been working on these different things.
Yeah.
So
it's incredible when you think about it, and the ages of the boys that went out to fight in the First and the Second World War. When you think about, they wanted to go, they wanted to protect their country, and you know, you can't imagine it now. My mum and my dad, I've mentioned this before loads of times, they both lost brothers in the Second World War, and that happened to
terrible.
So many families, and you couldn't now imagine what that would be like of young people saying, yes, we've got to get behind this, we've got to fight, we've got to do this for our country. A completely different world we live in now. It's a Tinder world, isn't it? It's the Tinder of flicking past.
Again.
If you don't,
So I must try this Tinder thing.
You're married, Sylvia.
Oh, I know. 50 years. I can't believe this. So I didn't realise it was flicking.
I've heard of it.
No. I mean, why would I be? Except perhaps to write a story.
Well, you could, but I wouldn't join Tinder. You're meant to be single if you're on Tinder.
Oh, I see.
It's about getting a relationship with somebody and going out on dates.
Yes.
I'll be very suspicious.
I've got a wig. I've got a black wig.
Thank you very much to my guests. We've learned about Tinder there. Thank you very much, Sylvia Kent and Celia Pike. It's just nearly coming up to 12 o'clock, and don't forget,